Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
Listen to the words that we're about to sing. The title of the song, Wonderful Words of Life. Yes, words of life. The end of that first stanza, words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. The second stanza, Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Listen as they're sung. Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, once again, I'd like to think of this chapter in light of our desperate need today in our nation. Probably never before in our life that we need to pray for these things that Paul here spoke of. Listen to the first 8 verses of this second chapter of 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. Paul exhorts to pray, both in that first verse that we read and the last. Let's pray now that we'll be able to pray in the Spirit. Pray in truth. Pray especially in the name of Christ. And pray rightly to the only true God. As we read, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Let's pray that God will teach us as a nation to pray, once again as Daniel did. In a few moments, we want to look at some of his words as he prayed in the need of his own country, though he was in a foreign one at the time. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, thy Son, giving thanks in his name, as we have been told here, to give thanks. Father, we can thank thee first of all for thy giving Christ, thy so loving the world that thou didst give him, thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. We pray, Father, in his name that we might be taught to pray rightly, rightly to thee, that we might do as Christ taught us to pray, that thy name might be hallowed, that thy kingdom might come, that thy will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that, Father, in light of this chapter, particularly toward the nation, kings, those that are in authority, but also, Father, for all men, as we have read, as thou would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And we pray, Father, particularly that the truth might again be known in the church, in our nation, and then through the church to the nation. We pray that also for every other nation, that repentance and remission of sins might be preached in thy name, Lord Jesus, into all nations, as thy command was to the apostles, and that that may be done in our present time, that more laborers might be called and sent to all the fields which are whiter than the harvest and where the laborers are filled. And especially, Father, the nations that have known the gospel in the past and that have turned away from it, as we commemorate this year the 500 years since the Reformation, which affected many nations, and after affecting other nations, we know that because of that truth, our forefathers came to this nation after being persecuted. We pray, Father, that now we might have what we need to lead a quiet and peaceable life. Some would say as much in need as any time since the Civil War. And some would say that we are today in a civil war. And Father, we fear that we are in a war of words, a war of ideas. And we give thanks it is not worse in a war of murder, killing, and destruction, as in our past civil war. And we pray that it may not come to that. We pray rather that we might be brought to repentance, that we might be brought to a godly sorrow, and then to pray rightly, in humility, in faith, in love. We pray, Father, that we might learn from thy word that there is hope in thee. And we pray now, Father, for the spiritual blessings first for our nation, for other nations as well, and then as well for the homeless, the hungry, the sorrowing, the injured, the sick, the war-torn lands, all these calamities that are there. We pray for our schools. We pray for the workplace. We pray especially for the troubled and broken homes. We pray for the children in those homes all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this once more, and I've often said when we study a portion of God's Word that we only get probably a small part of the whole, and even worse, that we do a small part of the whole. When we think of that first verse, I exhort, teach with force, as it were, exhortation, not just a suggestion, but an exhortation. Therefore, and if we just think of the therefore, we say, well, what's the therefore? In the previous writing just before this, sometimes it's sad that the Bible is separated by chapters because we don't see the whole. We don't see the context. We look at this chapter, we look at another chapter, and we think of them sometimes too much separately. But when we read those last two verses of the previous chapter, Paul said that holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. And then he mentions two particular people, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He names two particular people, and then he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, and intercession, giving of thanks, be made for all men. If we go back to the book of Acts and Paul's ministry, we see sometimes when Paul spoke to leaders and rulers, kings, governors, that others would try to hinder it. One man, he even said, pray that God would strike him with blindness, and he did. We need to think of the church, I believe, first of all, as the salt and the light, as the witness, as the one calling others to repentance toward God, faith toward Christ. But we also need to think of the nation that we're in. Sometimes that some nations, even today, cannot do that. They cannot call others. They would be killed or in prison or sent out of the nation if they tried it. Their nation won't allow the Bible to be preached. Sometimes they won't even allow believers to believe it, especially if they move from the religion that they've had in the past, and particularly if they try to convert others and bring them to salvation. Then it's terrible persecution in some nations today. And we may be in danger of that. I think we have probably been more in danger with some of our past leaders, and that's why we need to pray for kings and those that are in authority. In our nation, it would be the president and others in authority, the judges, the Congress, and all the way down to the policeman on the street. He has to keep order. He has to keep peace, and that we might have a quiet and peaceable life. I just read this morning how murder has increased in our nation in the last 2 years. We have vilified the police. We have spoken wrongly against them. And if you are one of those that think wrongly, stop. Be thankful. God has not given the sword to them in vain. Read Romans 13. And they are part of those in authority. You are to bow to them. And if they are not always all right, pray for them. That's what Paul is saying here. Pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Some rebel terribly. They want to live peaceably. One young person said, I will not be governed. Maybe I've said that before, but it bears repeating. That's the mentality of too many. We want to be governed. One reason is, we aren't being governed by the Word of God. We aren't being governed by our Creator. In China, when it went to the communists, they said, if we can convince the children of evolution, then we've got them won over to our side. Then we can take care of the rest. We have come terribly under that delusion of evolution. I read just recently, maybe I mentioned last week, it was I think a week, about 10 days ago, that one said, the fact of evolution. It's not a fact. When did all these things begin? Day and night, sun and darkness, moon changing every 29 days, spring, summer, fall, winter, seed time, harvest, all through history that we have. When did it change? They speak not only idle words, but wicked words. And we need to pray that our country wants to come to that any more than it has. And our leaders, our schools, practically all the schools are teaching it. The so-called Christian schools. It is not Christian to teach evolution. It's not even scientific. Yes, scientists talk about it, and they have a theory, and they keep changing. They keep changing the years. In my few years, gone from 16 million to 5.4 billion. Has science found that out? If they did, how come they didn't know it a few years ago? What has changed? Their thinking, their foolishness, their wickedness. Given over to a reprobate mind. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 1. Nature testifies of the Godhead and of his power. And those that when they know God, when they know God, I'm afraid there's many that fear there's a God and don't want it to be true. I've met men like that in jail. You can't prove to me there's a God. I said, you can't prove to me or yourself that there's no God. And the next time I saw him, he admitted it was true. He could not prove there's no God. They say it glibly. They want it to be true. They think by saying it, well, then we can forget what God has said. What Paul is here saying is from God. Listen to what he said in the 7th verse, speaking about the gospel in the previous verses, and then he says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher. A preacher. When he wrote to the church at Rome, he says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Christ said, preach the word to every creature. Preach the gospel. That's to be preached. Not just taught. Taught with an emphasis of having people come to believe it. Believe it to the saving of the soul. Oh, how we need that in our nation. As one visitor said years back, America is great because it's good. And if it ceases to be good, it will cease to be great. We have ceased to be great. We have a president that talks about bringing greatness back. But is God going to have to bring it back? It's God that's going to have to give blessing. As Moses said, who is it that gives thee power to get wealth? Later in the history of that country, the prophet said, you put your money in bags with holes in it. Of all that God has given us, so wonderfully, overflowing in so many areas, especially in food. And we just go in debt, in debt, in debt, giving that to our children, giving that to in our rebellious children. And why? Because there's so many broken homes. Not only children living under the fear of their parents leaving one another, but then oft times living in a home where there's a step-parent and not always adjusting to the children and the children to the parents. These things are happening. And because of it, in those homes that are troubled, there's much more suicide. I hate to say these things, but we need a change. We need to pray for it. And we need to be with Paul also a preacher. God not only said that he did it by the foolishness of preaching when he wrote to the Corinthians, he also said, how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach except they be sent? The Lord Jesus says, pray to the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into the fields which are white under the harvest and where the laborers are few. He saw the people in his own day as sheep without a shepherd. There's many in this radio audience that write and call. We can't find a church. Can't find a Christian friend in the city. Terrible. I hope it isn't their own fault and thinking wrongly, but it could be both. Some people don't want to fellowship with others, and we have to examine that. But we know that in many places where the truth was formerly preached, it's no longer there. I just read an introduction to a book written on the doctrine of predestination, where a person wrote to their preacher and said, I have been appointed to be a teacher in the church, and I thought I better read our confessions and read our doctrine. And then asking the preacher and say, do we still believe these things? What a terrible thing. What a shame. The preacher wrote back and said, the shame is that we don't believe it. Yes, right in the church that in the beginning wrote those confessions. This is how we understand Scripture in this area or that area. Those are doctrines, and they have to have Scripture for a basis. And then, not believing it. Part of that is what we need to pray for, because that is part of the whole. When people look at the Bible, sometimes they say it contradicts itself. Like people putting a puzzle together. Well, I can't find any place for this piece, or I can't find a piece for this place. They think it doesn't fit. And many people think that way with the Bible. But the Bible is a perfect fit, one part with the other. And it's a perfect fit of you and me, telling us we're sinners. Telling us, as we tried to emphasize last week, that God wants people to be saved. Saved from their sin in two ways. One, a pardon, so we won't be punished. The other, a change, so we won't continue in our sin. Like the song Rock of Ages says, we have sin a double cure. Wash me, forgive me, make me pure, both. That was one of the things that came out at the Reformation, justification by faith. Justified before God through this one that Paul is writing of. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he's not only a mediator, in the sixth verse, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. Not everyone is going to believe. Paul said when he wrote to the church at Corinth, we're a savor of life unto some and a savor of death unto others. Testifies against them, makes them without excuse. Where are you today before God? Where are you in the light of His Word? I hope the Word has humbled you. And as I just picked up a little book a moment ago, I didn't read it yet. Jesus called a little child, Matthew chapter 18, verse 2. And then He said to those round about Him, set them that little child in the midst, and He says, except you be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. How different than the one I quoted a little while ago and says, I will not be governed. We have much rebellion, much pride, destruction, murder. And when children want to be governed, they want to make good husbands or wives. We need to be submissive. Yes, Paul puts things in order, but before he tells husbands their place, wives their place, in Ephesians 5, he says, submit one to another. And we have to do all of that. We have to do it in a right way. Parents, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, have to become as little children before God. We have to become as little children before this word here of Paul. And as I said, he begins the words that we read. Four different ways he describes prayer. Supplications. Supplication. Supplicating before God. That means there has to be some blessing given. That can certainly indicate a change. Some people don't like the change that's taking place in our nation. They want to keep calling wrong things right. They want to make right things wrong. There are those, and I will say very plainly, I'm not a member of any party, and I don't want to be. Parties are confused. They're in contradiction among themselves, and those that are divided cannot stand. They won't be blessed. But one thing we can know, and that is that we're all guilty together. Some guilty of adamantly wanting the wrong. Some guilty of being lukewarm toward the wrong and not raising a voice against it, not being a witness and standing, as it were, in the gap. God said by one of the Old Testament prophets, I looked for a man to stand in the gap and found none. Paul did that. He said, I've not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, free from the blood of all men. He wrote that to the Ephesians, or told that to the Ephesians on his last visit there, and Luke recorded it in Acts chapter 20. But here, in our closing moments, I want to come once more to the place that's most important. And in line with what we just said, except you be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For us to be blessed in our nation, to live a quiet and peaceable life, we're going to have to enter into the kingdom of God first. We can't bring the kingdom of God down to our wicked level, denying the Creator, denying His holy laws, not seeing every person needing a ransom for all. There's none that don't need that. Everyone. Every person in our nation, every person in every other nation needs to be bought back. Bought back from going with Satan. I think of John Bunyan writing Holy War, as well as writing Pilgrim's Progress, teaching those truths so wonderfully and through the years. Many have read those books and many know about it, and if you didn't, try to procure one. If you can't find one, write. And I'll try to send you some, either books or place where you can find them. They are close to the Bible and sales next to the Bible. Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, who was put in prison so he wouldn't preach. He wrote that book, and he's been preaching ever since in many different places. One place in India when I was there. A man looks at it and says, oh, we had that book in university. It made its way from England to the university in India, the Hindu country. And it's part of the whole of God's way of blessing a nation, blessing homes, and last but not least, blessing individuals to make them right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, only by faith in Him.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423, or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Peace.